God bless you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 6 and then go to 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm just going to read a few verses here and try to give you the message. This is an extra special honor for me. One, to be preaching for your pastor is an honor. Ever since I met him, the Lord sort of knit our hearts together, and I have such a great respect for him. But then to preach with Brother Larry Brown, one of my favorite preachers, and appreciate him and his great ministry. I talked to my wife today, and I had read the poster, but I didn't realize it. And I said, baby, I need you to pray for me. I'm preaching with Larry Brown. She said, man, I bet you're nervous. I said, thanks, praise God. Amen. The Lord. I appreciate Brother Brown, preacher. Just yesterday, my wife showed me a picture of a precious couple. She got saved in our church, and they were having a terrible struggle. I believe it was the first time you were with us in revival. You preached your message on submission. About a year after he was there, this couple, they had had trouble off and on for years and years. And she asked to talk to my wife. They stepped in a side room. She looked at my wife. She said, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm finished. I will not stay another day in the house with him. And she had some pretty good reasons. But my wife handed her a CD of that message. And just yesterday, she showed me a picture of him holding her up off of her feet. And she had written under the picture, this man is the love of my life. And God changed that marriage, that marriage, with the word of God. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Stand, if you will, in honor of the word of God. I want to read just two or three verses, and then I'm going to bring you the message and get done. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Brown. Genesis chapter 6, let's start there. Bible said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, if you would be patient with me, I'd like for you to keep your hand there and go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read one verse there, verse number 5. The Bible said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, if we could go back to Genesis 6, and I want to read the first verse in chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful privilege to be in this place. And Lord, what an honor it is to get to stand here and bring the message that you've laid on my heart. I recognize, Lord, I have no ability to do what needs to be done. But Lord, I ask you to help me to be a help to your people. And God will give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. I've been spending some time the last couple of months just off and on in the life of Noah in our church. We looked in the beginning of chapter 6 at Noah and his surroundings. Then we looked at Noah and his salvation. The Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, I'm glad the grace of God, as has already been said, is sufficient. We looked at Noah and his separation. The fact that God had called Noah and saved him, set him apart from everybody else. I want to look tonight for just a few minutes, if we could, at the space between chapter 6 and chapter 7. And I want to preach for just a few minutes on Noah and his sermon. Notice, if you will, in our text in chapter 2 of 2 Peter and verse number 5, there is a pronouncement. The Bible said, and spared not the old world. You and I need to recognize the fact that when the grace of God is ignored or rejected, God will never spare. There is grace, but it's found at Calvary. Amen. And those who reject Calvary, who ignore the grace of God, will not be spared. Then we see not only the pronouncement, but the patience. He said, but save Noah, the eighth person. And then we see the preacher. He said, a preacher of righteousness. That's one of my favorite phrases in the Word of God. Then notice the power of God, where the Bible said that he bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Hebrews 11 verse 7 said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now I want to mention just a few things about Noah and his sermon. First of all, notice the labor of his sermon. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 22. Two phrases here, one at the beginning of the verse and one at the end. The Bible said, thus did Noah, and it ends the verse by saying, so did he. Amen. So we recognize that Noah is a preacher of righteousness, but there are some things Noah is doing. I would remind you that in this day and age of grace, and I praise God for that, we have gotten to the place where we're almost desiring to preach the grace of God to the exclusion of the responsibility of those who have received the grace of God. We do not serve to earn grace. That is totally against the idea of grace. But we serve as a result of experiencing the grace of God. This labor is an obedient labor. Notice the Bible said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So Noah's labor of his sermon is an obedient labor. In other words, he did what God had told him to do. He's not a free agent out there running around doing as he pleases. And the grace of God never turns anybody loose. Amen. Amen. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Notice this, teaching us. The grace of God will always teach you. So it is an obedient labor. Secondly, I would magnify the fact that it is an organized labor. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, God did not look at Noah and say, go build an ark and however you want to build it. Don't build it just any size you like or any way you like. Number one, Noah didn't know anything about an ark. He didn't understand anything about a flood. And so God gave him very detailed instructions. I'm telling you, we have some detailed instructions. I'm seeing now in this country, I'm seeing something being called a church that does not in any way resemble the church that God describes in his word. I can only imagine what the ark would have looked like had Noah been free to build it at his own specifications. I mean, really, when we looked at it, if we see the description, the details, and we look at that ark, it seems to be a monstrosity. But in all reality, it was exactly what God had ordered. And the world looks at the church today when it's done right and they can't figure it out. They don't understand it. Oh, but it's down to the detail exactly how God wants it to be done. So it is an obedient labor. It's an organized labor. But then I would say this. It is an observed labor. The world is watching while Noah's building. Now the church today wants to say, I don't care what the world thinks, but we better care. Here's how everybody likes to, here's the verse everybody wants to quote. The Bible said in Samuel that man looks on the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, after all, God knows my heart, and in all reality, that's true. If the world could see my heart, they would not know what they were looking at or how to understand it. As a matter of fact, God went so far as to say that I don't even know my own heart. No man can know the heart of man. Only God can. But I would remind you this evening that we are not trying to impress a God. He cannot be impressed. But we are trying to impress a world. And our labor is being observed by the world. And what they see in the church and see among Christians really does matter. So we see the labor of his sermon. Then notice, secondly, I would point out in 2 Peter 5, you don't have to turn. Two things I would point out here, and both of them come out of the same phrase. The Bible said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I would say not only the labor of his sermon, but secondly, the letter of his sermon. In other words, he is a preacher of righteousness, and it affected his message. How important tonight is the message that you and I are giving the world. I fear they're hearing a distorted message now. A deformed message. A depleted message. But notice Noah's message. The grace of God is in his message. Hey, Noah said, I found grace. And if I found grace, you can find grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So there is grace in his message. Then I would say there's gravity in his message. Why is that? It has a pull because it's not really Noah's message. It's God's message. Oh, I'm afraid that sometimes our pulpits are void of power because we're too busy preaching what we've learned, what we think, what we know, what somebody else said, what we may have read somewhere. But can I remind us tonight, God still has a message. And his message still has power. His message still has strength. His message still has gravity. And it has the ability to draw me in. So there's grace in his message. There's gravity in his message. But then I would remind us there's gloom in his message. What is that? He's a preacher of righteousness. There's an ark being built. And he said everybody who gets on the ark will be saved. But sadly, everybody who fails to get on the ark will be lost. Not most, not some, not a few, but everyone. Everyone. Now we're grateful tonight that all of Noah's family got on the ark. That is a blessing. You say, well, Noah preached all that time and nobody got saved but his family. I know men tonight that would trade every convert in their ministry for their whole family to be saved. And Noah had all of his family, but had any of Noah's family not gotten on the ark, they would have suffered and died. They would have spent eternity in hell. You and me need to get back to recognizing the fact that being a preacher's brother doesn't get you to heaven. Amen. Being a Christian's family member or child or parent will not. Hey, when Jesus comes, my children wrapping their arms around my neck and talking about how much they love me and even love my preaching will not help them. Everybody who does not get on the ark drowns and goes to hell. Everybody who does not get in Jesus Christ dies and goes to hell. Doesn't matter how religious or how good or how bad they are, they go to hell unless they get saved. What's happened to us? What's happened to us at the church house? Now listen, if we got word that somebody in our church tonight had a tragic disease strike them, they had to be taken to the emergency room, and by the time we got there, Pastor, by the time we got there, the doctor shook his head and said, unless God does something, they're going to be gone within a few days. We would fail to eat. We would not be able to eat. We would be off somewhere praying. Tears would be running down our face, and there's nothing wrong with that. But how is it that we will get that upset about saying to somebody, saying goodbye to somebody who's going to heaven?
That's right.
When we have loved ones and friends that if we got the call about them, they're going to hell.
Amen.
And we fail to recognize, we put it out of our mind, that everybody who's not on the ark, everybody who's not in Christ, is going to hell.
Amen.
So there's grace in his message. There's gravity in his message. There's gloom in his message. So we see not only the labor of his sermon, the letter of his sermon, but notice the life in his sermon. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, he's called a preacher of righteousness. Those of you who study your Bible, you know that that preacher of righteousness does not just mean he is preaching righteousness, or it does not just mean that he is personally righteous, but it means both. So not only is his message a message of righteousness, but his manners. He is a preacher of righteousness. What does that tell us about him? Well, it tells us about his heart. A man or a woman who is righteous, who has been justified, who has become righteous, will have a heart for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, Pastor, how sad it would be in my church and every church that all of us know about if we regularly had everybody stand up who had been a witness or given out a tract in the last 2 weeks. We don't come to church to try to embarrass people, but I wonder what would happen if we had to somehow exhibit what's really going on in our heart. I don't know about you, but tonight I got saved. Somebody came and got me and took me to church. The first time I got under conviction, somebody loaded me up and took me to the house of God. I didn't go by myself. My family was not in church. We were not serving God. My mother was saved. My daddy was saved. Both of them were backslid. And I didn't get taken to church by my family, but somebody came by, loaded me up, and took me to the house of God. I heard the word of God, got under conviction, and I got saved by the grace of God. Why? Because somebody had a heart. Somebody's manner of life had to do with getting others to Jesus Christ. I wonder if I talked to your husband, ma'am, for a little while. And I said, tell me about your wife. Describe your wife to me. I wonder if anywhere in the conversation it would come up that you had a heart for sinners. Sir, if I talked to your wife and I said, just describe your husband to me. You know, if I asked everybody in this building who knows the pastor, I said, describe the pastor, you wouldn't get far into your description until you would say, well, the pastor has a heart for sinners.
Amen.
Is there anybody that would say that about you? Listen, I believe in doing right. But we've become so proud. We've become so proud of what we're not that we've forgotten what we're supposed to be. Did you know, I preach against everything. It's hard for you to imagine anything I don't preach against. Okay? I preach against everything. But are you listening to me? Listen carefully now. Read your Bible. Jesus was never noted for what he didn't do. Nobody was ever drawn to Christ because of what he did not do. They were drawn because of what he did. And by the way, we know he was sinless. But you didn't get saved because of what Christ did not do while he was here, but rather by what he did do to reach you with the message of the grace of God. So it speaks of his heart. Then it speaks of his habits. It tells us a little bit about where Noah goes. He doesn't go the same place as everybody else goes. It tells us a little bit about what he does. He doesn't do what everybody else does. It tells us a little bit about where he goes. What he does tells us a little bit about who he is. This preacher of righteousness. I never have got over years ago. This has been years ago. Me and my wife got right with God. And we didn't really know nothing about this old time way, Bible way. We just knew about church. Well, we started getting hooked up with some folks who preached against everything. And we were at a family get together, and we were a young couple. Some of the young couples were getting together, and they were getting ready to go do something. And I was in the next room, not on purpose. I didn't hear it on purpose. But in the next room, one of them said, no use to ask Lee and Vicky. They won't go. Amen. Hey, we ought to be known a little bit by what we don't do. Amen. We ought to be known a little bit by where we won't go. But we ought to be known even more, as I've already said, for who we are. Who we are. Are you not tired of preachers? Are you not tired of preachers leaving town and you being embarrassed to say you knew them?
Yeah.
Because they owe everybody in town something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, we got the same problem everybody else does. I know we got folks leaving good churches. It's happening everywhere. We got the same problem. But I'm going to ask you something. Who did they learn that from? Going to church, stay until it got tough, and then leaving. Yep. Who did all our sheep learn that from?
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, the book of 1 Corinthians, Pastor, there's almost, until you get to chapter 15, there's hardly anything good in there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Paul doesn't say hardly anything good about the church at Corinth in the whole 16 chapters. Man, it's one rebuke right after the other. You know what I don't find? You know what I don't find? I don't find Paul telling anybody to leave the church.
Amen, brother.
Right.
Oh!
Right.
Listen, you can straighten me out. Listen, you can straighten me out if you want to as soon as church is over. Please don't do it while I'm preaching. I get embarrassed easy. But you can straighten me out. Listen carefully. You can go ahead and preach about how wonderful it was that Peter walked on the water if you want to. But that ship, is all through the Bible, is a type of the church. Jesus said, get in the ship and go to the other side. While the storm's raging, they've already seen Jesus. They've already heard him say, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter said, I need to get out of the ship. I'm too spiritual to hang around these guys. Oh! You say, well, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. Listen now, Peter was the only one who walked on water. He's also the only one that sunk. Hang on, preacher. Jesus told him to come on. Yeah, Jesus had already told him to stay in the boat till the other side. And that's the same thing the Lord told Balaam after he asked if he could go down to Balak the second time, and it almost got him killed too. Woo!
Amen.
And as soon as Jesus rescued him, he took him right back where he got out of. And listen, they were almost at shore, the Bible said, but he put him right back in the church.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so local, church, it's scary.
Amen.
Whoa, praise God. You say, well, preacher, our church has got some problems, I know, but Brother Brown's preaching. You can get right tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, man. There's a labor in his sermon, the letter in his sermon, the life in his sermon. Then notice this, and I'm done. Look at chapter 7, verse 1, and we see the length of his sermon. How long did he preach? He preached until his witness was confirmed. Can I remind you of a couple phrases in Hebrews 11, 7? By faith, Noah moved with fear. The righteousness which is by faith.
That's good.
Say, preacher, I've tried and tried and tried. Don't give up.
That's right.
Do not quit.
That's right.
Don't quit. That's right. Never quit. Never back down. Don't quit. Quit thinking about it. Quit talking about it. Quit allowing it to go on. When you hear others talk about it, start like my kids do. Whenever I'm saying something real sweet to my wife, they go, oh. Whenever I'm, as the Bible says about Isaac, whenever I'm sporting.
Yeah.
Whoa, praise God for sporting. Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise. Hey, congratulations, Pastor. 53 years.
Amen.
Ma'am, you are a picture of the grace of God. Isn't that right, preacher? Praise God. Listen, I read the saddest statistic the other day. It said 25% of the women in America are on medication for an emotional problem. Scary thing about that is 75% of them are running around unmedicated. Ladies, I'm just kidding. Ladies, I'm just kidding. Woo! Anybody enjoyed my preaching enough to crank my vehicle for me? I'm going to need to get out here fast. He preached until his witness was confirmed. He preached until his work was complete. Guess what? The message has to go on until the ark's finished.
That's right. Amen.
Until everybody's on that's supposed to be on.
That's right.
He preached until his witness was confirmed, until his work was complete. And then he preached until the water was coming.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. He preached until the waters were coming. Listen, I get tired just like everybody else.
Yes.
All of us do. That's the reason we need meetings like this. Yes. Preacher, thank you for having me. And I got such encouragement this morning. What a blessing to look out here and see men who are still going on. I don't know about you, but it encouraged me to watch the pastor and his wife with their arms around each other. 53 years, praise God.
Yeah.
To hear about 48 years pastoring this church,
amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I've been at the same church 23 years, and I thought I was doing good. Hey, we've got to hang in there till we're done. Listen, it's not quitting time, but be encouraged, quitting time is coming.
Amen.
That's right, bro.
Just any minute. The buzzer's going to go off and we're out of here.
That's amen.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, what a wonderful place. And Lord, it's an honor that I got to be here tonight. I pray you'd help us now. Lord, bless in the rest of the music, and then please bless my precious friend, Brother Brown, as he preaches. Work in our lives. Speak to me tonight in Jesus' name.